CGTV。
Martin Zender, studio at the wall. I want to talk to you about being drawn away toward humble things. Everything today is the opposite of what it really is. We're seeing a negative image today. We see that the lowly will be exalted, and those who are now exalted will be made low. And it delights God to do this. It shouldn't be a surprise. It's His standard operating procedure. And I'm going to show you that in a particular passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Let's see if I can make this show without any too much external noise. It's Sunday afternoon as I'm speaking to you, so we should be okay on train traffic. When Dean and I were filming It Is Finished a few days ago, I just talk about it and there's the train. Unbelievable. We were trying to film It Is Finished, and it was so hard to find a scene where there wasn't a train, there wasn't a siren. It's amazing. I just talk about a train and there it is. Where there wasn't an airplane, because I'm only 4 miles from the airport. And we succeeded mostly, but there is one scene when I'm on the cross, which is actually the telephone pole here in the alley behind my house. You can hear a piece of large equipment backing up. It was impossible to avoid everything, but we did the best that we could. I'll mention this one more time, and I won't say it again, but on May 11th, I am going to be in Richmond, Virginia. I'm going to be speaking at a conference at which I am the only speaker. There's still time to get there. I'm going to put the number over here. No, I'm not put it over. Let's put it over here. I'll put the phone number of James Huff, who is organizing the conference. Text James Huff here and find out the details. Although, if you go to my homepage, look at the latest ZWTF, you'll find information on page 2. Of the ZWTF, lodging information, and so forth. What I want to do, I'm going to get there on Friday. What I want to do is maybe have a little impromptu get-together in my hotel room. I'll have cheese, crackers, we'll have some wine, a little whiskey, and anybody that wants to come, we'll have a little impromptu get-together. I don't want to tour. James says, I will take you to Jamestown, you know, the first settlement. We'll look at some sites. And I said, all I want to do is get together with the saints and then talk about God. That's all I want to do when I'm there. So I don't know what the details will be yet on Friday evening. I hope if you can get there early, text James Huff at that number right there and find out what's going on. We'll find out where we're going to be, and maybe we'll get together at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, all right? Because I would love to see you, and all I want to do is talk to the saints about God. That's all I want to do. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to be with the saints. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, let brotherly fondness be remaining. Be not forgetting hospitality. For through this, some were oblivious when lodging messengers. That's the Concordant version. Actually, that's Hebrews, 13. That's 13:2. That's 13:2. The King James has angels there, and messengers in this case, the Greek word angelos actually means messengers, and angels are messengers. And it delights God to send messengers, angels, to the earth in humble guys, this is why I am always drawn away to the humble, because of this verse. This verse taught me that. And plus, when you look back in the Bible, you see that the Son of God himself came as a humble person, born of humble lineage. His parents were humble. The city, the town, the burg he was raised in, Nazareth, was very humble. Everything was small. Everything was downplayed. And that is where God is operating today. I want to show you a picture of our dog, Charles, here. There's Charles, cute pooch. I think Charles knows that I'm a son of God. Yes, I see that knowing look in his eyes sometimes, and not all the times, but sometimes. And I think the animals, we know that all creation groans and longs for the manifestation of the sons of God, because they are groaning for their deliverance from this world of death and decay, and they instinctively know that the sons of God, when we are manifested, we will be the key, the catalyst to their deliverance. And so Charles gives me that knowing look once in a while. It's like he knows who I am. Yes, even though I am sitting here again in one of the spots you like to see me at, I'm here next to the garbage to my right, ladder, and other gardening equipment to my left, and some plywood there added for good measure. It delights God to do this. So, does God still send angels to the earth? Yeah, I say, why not? I say that's perfectly consistent with what he does. And it is a good idea, and it is spiritually astute of anyone listening to my voice to give heed, to be drawn toward the humble now and not toward the high, because it is God's plan to lower those who are now high and to raise those who are now low. I was thinking today about the title of the book of Revelation. Technically, that book is called The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be unveiled. What does that tell you? I mean, it's really hit me today. If he's going to be unveiled, then he is currently veiled. Oh, yes, he is currently veiled. Haven't seen him around in 2,000 years. And yet he is operating in the members of the body of Christ. And God himself is speaking through the ecclesia that is the body of Christ. I should go to that verse because I never get tired of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God has placed in us the word of the conciliation, that God is at peace. That's what the word conciliation means. God has made peace with the world through the cross. For Christ then, this is verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ then, we are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. God is entreating the world through us of all people. We are the lowliest of people. We have no reputation in the world. I myself, here I am teaching on these things on YouTube. I have a respectable sized audience, and yet I have no theological diploma. I have no degree. I've never been to an official school. But if you look at the precedent, neither did any man of God down through history have any formal degree. The ones with the formal degrees are the ones who ended up crucifying Jesus Christ. So the low is where you need to go. And you don't have to go far because you're there and I'm there. And it delights God to do it this way. So I'm running through downtown Fort Lauderdale every day, and there's some homeless people here. It's a great place to be homeless. If you're going to be homeless, come here because it's warm. I don't know how there could be any homeless people in, say, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, even Chicago, just a bad place to be homeless. But down here, yes, many homeless people. And I always greet them. I nod at them. I will give them money. I carry a little cash in my pocket to buy drinks for the occasional Snickers bar. And I like to give money to people who don't ask. It's great. I was going past one lady. I noticed as I was going by, she was sitting under a parking, a garage type thing, and I ran past her, and she looked very sad, very forlorn, and I said, this could be an angel. Oh, yes, 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 it could be, but even if it's not, it's a human being. And so I retraced my steps, went back, and I handed her a $20 bill, and she was shocked. She said, why did you give me that? I said, because I wanted to. That's pretty much the end of that story, but the point is that this is where God dwells, in the lowly, in the forgotten, in the downtrodden, in the sick, the poorly dressed, those of ill reputation. I love these people. And God loves the lowly. And so don't be distressed if you find yourself in this position. After all, I'm heralding between a garbage can and a ladder. So the unveiling of Jesus Christ tells us that if he's going to be unveiled, then he is presently veiled. And yes, he is very well veiled. Another verse says, Surely you are a God who hides yourself. Richard Dawkins, remember, he's the famous atheist. And someone asked him in an interview, Mr. Dawkins, what if after you die, you end up standing before God, you found out you were all wrong through your entire life, what will you say? What will you say to God? And his answer was very enlightening to me, and I give him credit for this answer. He said, if I were to find myself standing before God, I would say, Sir, why did you work so hard to hide yourself? Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. He does hide himself bodily. He hides himself from the manifestations of him that we would love to see. We want to see power and glory, just like Israel wanted to see that when Jesus Christ was on earth. They wanted the political Savior. They didn't want the lowly Nazarene. So God does hide himself, and yet he speaks mutely through his creation. Through the marvels of just something as simple as this. This little flower, look at this. I just picked this up here as I'm sitting against this wall behind the cottage, behind my house. This is my answer to atheists. If an atheist says to me, Martin Zender, prove to me that there's a God, I would do this, and I wouldn't say anything else. If you can't figure it out from this, I got no hope for you. And yet, look, here's another one. And here's another one. The earth is crawling with evidence of the greatness of the mind, of the spirit, of the organization powers, the life-giving powers of God. And yet, God has blinded most people so that his glory is hidden. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are only 9 years away from the second coming of Christ. I can't say this with certainty, but it is a very educated guess. I don't even want to call it a guess. It's more than a guess. And I'm going to talk to you more about this. I was impressed myself with Matthew's talk a few days ago about the Jubilee years. I see four different ways to arrive at the year 2028 for the inauguration of the kingdom. Four different ways, and I'm going to go through those ways with you. I'm going to put it all in a nutshell. Our friend Aaron Welch has written an article, or I don't know if the article's published yet, but he wrote me privately, and maybe when that article comes out, I will link you to it, saying that he believes that we, the body of Christ, will be snatched away at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period. We know that there's one more 7 years remaining to bring Israel to her perfection, to her completion through great trial. Of course, this comes from Daniel's prophecy. Daniel chapter 9, the 70 sevens, the 490 years prophetically that belong to Israel, to eliminate sin, to bring an end to iniquity, to bring righteousness to God's people. And this timetable is perfect. And there is one seven-year period remaining of that 490 years. Because as we know, there's been a 2,000-year gap from the time of Christ until now. That's a long time, but God is on it, and he is not slack concerning his promises. So it could be that we only have 2 years. This seems like a long time to me, even 2 years. I don't know how I'm going to get through today or tomorrow. Juliana, my landlady here, who I love dearly, she is in Lima, Peru for a month, and it's killing me. I really miss her presence, that strong feminine presence in the house. I miss it sorely. I'm having a rough time. but so is everybody else. But to think that in less than two years, we could be, everything could change. And I mean, everything is going to change like that. Everything's going to change on a dime. The humble will become high. The members of the body of Christ will be exalted to their rightful position at the right hand of God. And those who are of repute now, those who are high now, those who we would look at and call stars or celebrities or magnates or captains, they will be made low because they are rich in the things of the world. But the things in the world are passing. Our Lord said, don't store up for yourself treasure that the world would call treasure. Don't store up for yourself things, because the moth eats and the robber steals the things that the captains and the chiefs of this world want to gather to themselves. The things that we have, the humble things, the lowly things, the things that the world doesn't care about, the world doesn't care to measure. Like this fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. All these things are glorious things that God has given us as a gift. And above that, we have the message of the conciliation, of the peace that God has won for the world. And we herald the message. We tell people that God is now at peace with them and that they don't have to earn this salvation. They don't even have to believe it for it to be true. That Jesus Christ has taken away their sin. This is the message. And sometimes you feel like John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness. And it's a vast wilderness here we're living in. Vast wilderness. We don't see anything of the glory that is coming. But it is coming. It is coming. There's going to be a great change of fortune. And it is going to happen soon. Very soon. So in the meantime, we exhort one another to be patient. Patience is a virtue. And I want more of it now.